Good evening. I'm glad to be back. My name's Tom. Just here to throw down, give you little tips and tidbits that you can use to help your help yourself out with your music production and recording and stuff like that. I'm no genius, but I'm doing this stuff myself. So, and I'm actually in the middle of some things, and that's why I'm going ahead and doing another podcast, because I want to kind of tell you where I'm at and what I'm doing and how I'm doing it. Because it just might make it easier for you if you're trying to do some live recording. Because what I'm doing right now is I'm playing with some acoustic guitar tracks. And I'm getting ready to throw down and record some materials. And I wanted to let you know about the process that I'm using to help me make that go as smoothly and as easily as possible. Because I've got, obviously I have this song, and I want to record it, and it's just me, and you know, nobody's ever played it or heard it before, so it's up to me to make it sound right. Nobody else can do that for me. So, you know, maybe you're like me, and you've got this little song, and it's a hot little jam, and you just want to throw it down, man, and just lay it on us, you know, and you know, be kings of the world, or whatever the case may be. But and you've actually even been out in the garage, you've been practicing this with your buddies, and that's great and all, but you're still not quite ready to go, because there's actually two parts to learning a song that you're going that you've written and getting to where you can perform it. You have to first go in and make sure you know all the chords, all the licks, all the changes. You know, you have to have all the verses, you have to have all the choruses down, you have to have all the bridges down, everything like that, because nobody can do that for you because nobody's ever played this before. Now, when I'm practicing songs that other people have recorded, I just play right along with the music, and I've mentioned that before. I just, you know, bring up an iTunes, fire up the song, and play along with it. And that's great. But that only works for something that somebody else has recorded. So nobody else has recorded this. So now I need to figure out a way of doing the same thing, of making the song sound good, like they made their song sound, obviously. And that's going to take a little bit of work on the second step of this. And that is, you have to make sure that the tempo's right all the way through. It's, I think, human nature that when we hear a song and it goes from the verse to the chorus, that sometimes that those choruses or even breaks and bridges can seem to be quicker than the original music. And it's not necessarily. Oftentimes it's because they have an extra instrument they throw in. They play different chords. They go up an octave, go down an octave. And it's all those changes to fool the ear into thinking that this is faster. So, but we want to play at a nice, steady, even pace all the way through this. Let the music speak for itself. And lay down a track that's not just sounds good and is a good as far as you're playing, but it's actually on time. And to do that, you're going to just make a click track. That's what I've been doing. I just have a set of click tracks that go all the way from 80 beats per minute up to, I think I stopped at 240. And you can adjust them and you can play with them a little bit, but you want to go ahead and at least have a few of them around that you can just open and run with. Because you're going to use them for two things. First of all, once you get the song to where you can play it and you have an idea of what speed you want to play it at, then you'll want to open up your workstation and you'll want to go ahead and record a short little piece of that. And you'll want to open up these click tracks and you'll want to fold that into the different click tracks, paste it in with them, so that you can play the click track and the music at the same time till you find something that's close to the pace that you want to play it at, or is close enough that you can adjust it a little. The song I'm working on right now has worked out to about 115 beats per minute, which is odd. But of course, in digital age, it doesn't really matter as long as it sounds good and I keep it even, right? That's 110, 120, 140, you know, they all sound relatively the same, and your ears can't really tell unless you're like one of these genius people as far as, you know, music goes. But for the rest of us, you just put it on the speed that you want. So you find something that's in these click tracks that's roughly what you want. You make a little adjustment in it. And then you save that as the basis for your new project. And you're going to do two things with this click track. The first one is you're going to practice with it. You're just going to open it up, hit your space bar, and play. Whatever instrument you're going to play, whatever part you're going to play. And that's what I do. Since I don't have the music and I don't have someone who's already set the tempo for me, I simply use the click track and I set the tempo myself. And then I play along with the tempo to make sure I have the tempo correct. And it really helps to be able to see, not only here, but to see the little bars going across. What I've done is I've taken my number one beat and I've moved it so that it's different than the others. It sounds different and it's a one line down. So I can both play along and see and hear that I'm staying on the correct rhythm, at the correct tempo. So, how do you make a click track then? Well, it's really, really easy. And I'm going to talk about it in GarageBand, although there are the exact same processes to be used in any digital workstation, I'm sure. When you open up GarageBand, you automatically get, the first time, a little box that comes up. It tells you, okay, what's the name of this, and how fast it. There's a little thing on the right-hand side at the bottom that you can set the speed. So, basically what I did was I told, okay, I want to start at 80, I want to go to 90, I want to go to 100. I did it every 10 beats per minute. I went 80, 90, 100, 110, etc. So, start a new project, set that speed in it. Tell it what speed it is up in the title. It said 80 beat per minute click tracks. It's the actual name of the project. Go inside, and I want to put it on to where I can see the bars at the top. So I don't want it to be on time. I actually want it to be on the tempo. Mine is on the measures, and that's what you want. You want to be able to see the measures in your timeline. And you also want to open up the editor. You want to be able to see an editor. So you're going to, if you're using something other than GarageBand, it automatically gives you a software instrument. Gives you the grand piano, so you don't have to change it. Although I put mine on drum kits so that I have sounds that aren't. And I put it on this junky, odd noise drum kit. Although you can use like a synth. Anything that is going to be loud enough you can hear it while you're playing your live instrument is just fine. You can use anything. I wouldn't leave it on the piano because the piano will probably tend to disappear if you're playing something loud or if you happen to lose your speed. So, anyway, I just found some junk stuff that doesn't sound like any real instrument, and I just put it on that, and it stands out. It's loud enough to stand out so I can hear it as I play. But all you're going to do is bring that up, put the instrument that you want in there as far as a software instrument, and you're going to hit record. And you're going to record exactly one of those measures, just one. And all you're going to do is go boom, 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 and you're just going to hit four notes. Doesn't matter where they end up, because you can move them, because it's a digital workstation. But then, when you're ready to stop recording, you're just going to stop. You're going to make sure that this piece that you've recorded, you're going to shorten it and make sure that it's no longer than just one measure. And then you're going to take those notes you put in there, and you're going to move them over into the proper places. The easiest way to do it, just to make a generic track, is just go 4-4. I know when I look at my GarageBand, I can see the measures right now. I start with a number and a line right in front of it. That's my one beat. And then I have three more short lines. 1, 2, 3, 4, another tall line and a number. So the first beat goes all the way to the left, below the first number, even if you don't see a line there like you don't in GarageBand. And I think most of them are going to be like that. You're not going to see that line. The one is just automatically exactly where the recording starts at zero. It just starts at one. It's like there's no like zero to it. It starts 1, 2, 3, 4. So the first one goes all the way to the left. Like I said, I moved mine down one so that I can hear that it's got a little different tone to it, so it sounds more like 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. Either way, it helps you just in case you do get lost as you practice to get back on, because you can see that note's in a different place than the others, and you can hear that it's in a different place. Then you're going to put your marker on the first notch after, the first line after the number. And you're going to slide that second note over on the line that's on, and you're going to stick it right there against where you have your marker. And if you know anything about GarageBand, you know what I'm talking about. You get the big white marker at the top with the red line. It comes down, and that shows you where you are in the timeline. And it's the same from all the others that I've seen. They give you some sort of little line that goes across that shows you where you're actually at. So you're going to do that for the second one. You're going to do that for the third one. You're going to do that for the fourth one. Put it on the marker. Put the note right up against it. Put the note right up against it. So you won't have one at the end, but every time you loop it or copy-paste it, you'll have one on the next one. So what you do from there, at least in GarageBand, is you go up to the upper right-hand corner, you get the little loop symbol, and you pull that out for about 20 bars. And if you did it right, you've got 20 bars worth of 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. From there, all you're going to do is you're going to end it. You're going to start end it exactly where the 21st bar starts. You're going to make sure that your marker is exactly on that. You're going to make sure you have what you've pulled out, the 20 bars you've pulled out, selected. You're going to copy. You're going to paste right next to it. And then you're going to go edit join, and you're going to make that in one big long 40 bar section. You're going to copy that. You're going to go to the end of that, put your marker on it, copy, you're going to paste it again. You paste that four more times, you do the joins for it. Next thing you know, you've got 200 bars, 1, 2, 3, 4s laid out that you can practice with for probably 4 or 5 minutes, according to what speed you're using it at. And it's no harder than that. You have your click track, you pick up your instrument, you go back to the beginning of it, you hit your space bar, and you play along. And then, when you're ready to record what you're doing, you open up your click track again, and you rename it. You go File, Save As, and you name it something else so that you don't mess up your original click track. That way, if you need it for another instrument or something, you don't have to go back and try to reconstitute it or change it around. I made one for each speed all the way up to, like I said, to 240, just so I can open one up, I can get into it, I can put what I want into it, I can save it as something else, and then I can go back and come back to it with a different instrument and not have to try to remake it and not have not try to start all over again and make one every time I need a click track. I just want to have them available. Open it, go with it. Open it, go with it. If you can do that, that'll save you just huge amounts of time, especially if you're going to record more than one instrument. So you got to figure, you got to do this with each instrument. So you want to record each instrument into its own little click track thing, and then you can copy and paste your different tracks into one master and get rid of, just delete the ones that you use for your live instruments. So after this, all you do is you open up the click track you want, you go in with your instrument, and you can even use it with the with instruments like the pianos and everything and your software instruments. There's nothing wrong with keeping the click track going and just keeping yourself on time all the way through that too. That way you can sit there and you can play with a drum pad and know that you didn't get off. And you can use that that track as a groove track in GarageBand, and you can make your drum tracks match up to it. Remember I told you about that. It works pretty good. You might have to go and make adjustments if you get real loose with it, if you turn off the snap to grid, which I do sometimes because I shuffle things around quite a bit when I'm doing this. But you just go in, lay down your track, you open up a new project, you copy and paste that into the new project, you make it your groove track because you know it's right, because you already did it, and now you can go ahead and take all your other instruments that you record at that same speed, copy and paste them into it, and when you do that, they'll match your original groove track, and you won't have so much editing to do at the end. And that's just my little piece of advice. Like I said, I'm in the middle of doing this. I'm sitting down, playing with different speeds and everything, and getting myself set up to do some recording with acoustic. And I just wanted to share with you that if you do it this way, it makes it so much easier, because when you're done practicing, you know it at the speed that you need. When you record it, it helps you record it at the speed that you need, and it'll save you a whole lot of time later, a lot of time and effort and pain in the butt later in the mix. when, oh my God, all of a sudden, this doesn't match up quite right, and what am I going to do about it? So, there you go. That's your piece of advice for today, and keep listening.